Well, amen, for all he's done. Praise the Lord. When you understand all that God has done, you can't help but to praise him. Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. Now, Wednesday nights we've been studying on the life. I love Bible character studies, and we've been studying on the life of Joshua for some time now. We're actually here in the last chapter of the book of Joshua, chapter 24. We studied Joshua as the man Joshua, and then we've studied him as God has given us much insight into the man Joshua as we look into the book of Joshua. And tonight's going to be a little bit different. It's going to be a little bit of a catch-up, a review over some of what we've already presented, but another message tonight that I think would be appropriate for this service here this evening. And so we wanted to stay with the life of Joshua. So Joshua chapter 24, if you go ahead and stand with me, we're going to read just one verse. And this is the last that we got to last Wednesday night, the last verse here, verse 14. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 14. The Bible says this: "Now therefore," Joshua is addressing the nation of Israel, "now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord." And let's pray. Father, we come before you again, and we thank you for what we've already received and just being in the house of the Lord tonight, for the congregational singing, for the special music. And now as we've opened up your holy word, I pray, God, that you would just help us to put other things out of our minds and stay focused on the truths of this life of Joshua and what you have for us this evening. I pray that you'd empower the preaching and the teaching of thy word once again, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. We find that Joshua served God under, first of all, Moses. He served God under Moses in Egypt, and there was much that he was able to do in serving in Egypt and under Moses, as Moses came to address Pharaoh to let the nation of Israel, the children of Israel, the children of God, to go out of Egypt to the promised land. And so we find that he was serving God under Moses there in Egypt as well as in the wilderness. After they went out of Egypt, it was Joshua who was in charge of getting them across the wilderness area under the leadership of Moses. Once they failed to go into the promised land the first time, it was Joshua that was able to lead them under the leadership of Moses, but he was the one in charge of helping Israel to defend themselves, to establish the army that they needed to be used of God. And so there was so much that he was doing there. And then Joshua served God as Israel's leader after Moses went on to glory. When God called Moses home, then Joshua was there, and God called Joshua to be the commander-in-chief, the next leader of the children of Israel. And so he served God as Israel's leader. And he led them to victory. I mean, they've defeated all the other armies in the promised land. He's divided up the land now into the 12 tribes of Israel. Now everyone understands their boundaries, they understand what they're responsible for. And then Joshua's coming to the end of his life in chapter 24. He reveals a couple different times that he is old, and yet he would have one final message for Israel. And Joshua chapter 24 records Joshua's last words to the nation of Israel, God's chosen people. It was his last counsel, it was his last charge, his last warning to the nation of Israel. In chapter 24, verses 1 through 13, leading up to the verse that we're going to be studying tonight, verse 14, but chapter 24, verses 1 through 13, Joshua gives Israel a history lesson on what God had done for them. As the message and song tonight, I requested that they sing that tonight because I knew that's would help us in preparing us to receive what God has for us tonight. As we think about what God has done, for all he's done. And Joshua wanted to remind them of that. And really, it takes a history lesson. Secular history reveals much about the blessings of God, especially on Israel, the chosen people of God in the land of Israel, in the land of Canaan. Much of what God did for them after God destroyed the world with the flood because of the evil minds and the lives of the people before the flood, their thoughts and the intents of their heart was only evil continuous. No righteous thoughts, no holy thoughts, no thoughts of God, no thoughts of worship, no thoughts of serving God, only selfish, lustful, ungodly, sinful thoughts. And God destroyed the world. He destroyed them. He saved Noah. That's history. That's history as we understand what God has done. Now, that's Bible history, secular history. It all depends on who it is you're reading and studying after. They might have a different take on that. But then you get into the actual history and you see the hand of God working to allow the United States of America to be established in 1776 for religious freedoms.
Amen.
That was God.
That's right.
Understanding he would use the United States of America as an instrument in God's hands to not only develop the church that Jesus Christ would establish some 2,000 years ago, but also to give the world religious freedoms and allowed this great nation to stand for religious freedoms and stand for biblical convictions that we had when we established this United States of America. History proves that. We went into the great wars, all the wars we've ever fought. We've seen the hand of God deliver the United States of America. And wars that we shouldn't have ever even been able to win, our independence, we shouldn't have been able to do that. But because of the hand of God, history reveals that God had a plan for America. When Hitler was looking to rule the world, and the great Holocaust and all the history behind that and what had happened, it was only God that stopped Hitler. It wasn't the might of the military of the United States. It was the hand of God given the wisdom and the insights in all the wars for us to be able to win those battles, to win those wars. History, history. So we find here that Joshua was given the nation of Israel before he left a history lesson on what God had done for them leading up to this. And it describes it all, verses 1 through 13, from the great flood to their presence in the promised land. In verse 13 it says, "And I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and you dwell in them of the vineyards and the olive yards which you planted not. Do ye eat?" He says, I've done that for you. And you need to be aware of that. No doubt, as they would have been remembering the flood, how God delivered Noah, how God called Abraham, how God gave Abraham Isaac, Jacob, Joshua, I mean Joseph rather, going into Egypt, becoming the miracle again of God putting him at the right hand of Pharaoh to enable God's children Israel to grow to a mighty multi-million nation in Egypt, to where there was more of them, Israelites, than there were Egyptians living in the land of Egypt. That's history. That's undeniable history. And yet they were there because God put them there so that they could grow into the great numbers that they had. And then as they come across out of Egypt, God delivered them out of this hands of the most mighty army of the in the world at that time. And they were nothing but farmers underneath the leadership of Moses. Now God had to perform some miracles, and he worked a miracle, several miracles to get Pharaoh to let the children go. And then the last, after Pharaoh let them go, he then repented of that and wanted to go kill them before the Red Sea, and God opened up the Red Sea. History. They're remembering all this. Joshua is reminding them of what all God had done. And as he reminded them of all that God had done, their faith and their rejoicing would have increased. By the time we get to verse 14, I guarantee you the people are shouting and yelling and just having a great time thinking about all that God had done for them. And because they had the history to back it up and they were looking back, their faith in God increased. And as their faith in God increased, their rejoicing increased. Yeah. It's what's missing in so many people's lives today. It's what's missing in society today. The problems in society, the problems that we have, they've forgotten God. Mainly because they've been taught there is no God. There is no God, there's no eternal consequences to whatever you do. So make a name for yourself while you live. No matter if it's good or bad, mentality of people outside of God is selfishness and wanting, doesn't care who's hurt by whatever they do, they just want to make a name for themselves. What's missing is being reminded of the God of all creation. The God that sent his only begotten Son some 2,000 years ago. That's history. That's on our Christian calendar. Virgin-born Son of God. Praise the Lord for Christmas. We celebrate Christmas as the birth of Christ. That's history. We celebrate the resurrection. That's Easter. That's history. We're just not thinking of it as much as we ought to think about it. We're not reminding and telling other people as much as we need to remind and tell other people that we have a creator God. There is a heaven and there is a hell. And there's a God that loved us, has sent his only begotten Son for us. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God has a way and a plan for all to be saved. But if they're not told, they're not remembering that there is a creator God. They have no faith to believe. They're not rejoicing in that God. And the world's a very dark place without God. The world's a dark place without the memories and the reminders of God and the light that Jesus presented as the light of Christianity. Yeah, it's a dark place without it. Being reminded of the God of all creation. Psalms. Let me just read to you some Psalms. And Psalms in chapter 126. You can write it down if I go too fast for you. It says this: when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we, the children of God, we were like them that dream. Look what God's done for us. It was like them that dream because they were their faith was increased and their rejoicing was increased. And it was like they that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter. And our tongue was singing. When you remember God and you remember what God has done for us, it will change your mindset. It'll change the way you look at life. It'll change your spirit. The world will not be as dark. There will be hope. No matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstances, as long as there's a God, and if I'm reminded of all that he's done, there's hope. Because we serve a creator God that's available to us and is able to do all things. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. Even the rest of the world, the lost will see the joy of the Lord in the lives of believers. Because because we're reminded of all that God's done for us. Verse 3, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Psalms 145. I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. You're doing that if you are reminded and been mindful of that you have a creator God who loves you. And if you're saved especially, then you realize that he loved you enough to send his son to die for you, and you were able to call upon the name Lord and be saved, and yet now you know that you have everlasting life because of that. And every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Because he created all things. Stop believing the lie of evolution. Not saying there has been some evolution, but never out of kind, and it was not established by evolution. It was established, it was an intelligent design established by God. Amen. And you'll see that great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another until that generation stops believing in God. And when you stop believing in God, you stop telling the next generation. And the next generation is raised without the hope and the blessings and the presence and the help of God. And it's a dark world that they live in. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. When you're reminded of it yourself, you'll want to tell others about it. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. When we're talking about the flood, we're talking about the Red Sea, we're talking about the parting of the Jordan River. You're talking about millions of God's children going through the wilderness and being given the land of Canaan, a land that no other nation, no other people could have defeated. And the only reason that Israel was able to defeat Jericho and all the other the cities in the promised land was because of the mighty hand of God. History reveals it. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all the works. All the works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raises up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. God can do that. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will be destroyed. If you believe that, you don't want to be on the side of the wicked. You don't want to continue to do wicked things if you believe that. Unless you've been blinded to the reality of God. Then you'll do horrible things. More wicked than ever. How some people can do such wicked things that we're experiencing in our world today goes beyond my mind and my imagination. Attributed only to the darkness of the devil himself. The Lord preserveth all them that love him. but all the wicked will be destroyed. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Psalms 145. Exactly what we need. Joshua knew what the people needed was a history lesson and to be reminded of who God is and what God has done for them, for all he hath done. Are you reminded tonight? Do you know what God's done for you? He gave you life. Man was created in the image and likeness of God. And God puts life into the womb of every mother, into the physical body that mom and dad have developed inside the womb. It's God who puts that eternal spirit and soul in that little womb and that little infant. And that becomes a living soul that has an eternal spirit. Wow. That's what God's done for you. He gave you life. You owe your life to God. Yeah. He revealed truth. Stop listening to the world and start listening to God when you want to truly understand the truth of past, present, and future. Stop looking to psychics for the future and look to God who spells it out for us. God has given us truth about history. God has given us truth about this day, this church age. And God has given us truth about what's to follow the church age. And it will come to pass. It will come to pass. God's done that for us through the Holy Scriptures, through the Bible. God has revealed truth. God gave us the most precious thing that he could have given to us, his only begotten Son. Paid a sin debt that we all owed and couldn't pay. Jesus Christ paid it on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago and continues to offer it to any man, woman, and child of the age of accountability who would simply believe and receive the gift. It's a gift of everlasting life. He established the church, which allows us to assemble here tonight. I'm not talking about this buildings. This houses the church. He established the church. The design of the church is the body of Christ. Jesus Christ is the head of his church. The body is believers. Amen. This church given to us, made you a part of it by Christ. I can be a part of the body of Christ. I can be part of the New Testament church. Stop and think about that. You'll rejoice over that. He reveals to me that he ever liveth to make intercession for me. Meaning that I have a Savior who is ever living to stand between me and God and make intercession. Amen. If you're saved, you have that. I mean, God hears your prayers because of Christ. We pray to God the Father through God the Son in the power of God the Holy Spirit. You have that. Do you have that awareness? If you don't have that awareness, you're not going to rejoice in the Lord. But if you have that awareness, then you are never alone. And you always have an opportunity to cry out to a God who's able to do all things. And he can comfort you and he can strengthen you and he can help you. For all he's done. But you got to be aware of what he's done. And once you're aware of what he's done, you know what you'll do? You'll praise him. Yeah, you'll praise him. There's a place of heaven that's in my future. And if you're saved, it's in your future. I don't have to fear death. I don't want to think about the process of dying, but I don't have to fear death, because when I die, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. What a difference that makes. He's done that for us. He's done that for you who might have been told that you got cancer and only have just a short time to live. Short time to suffer, but a eternity to live with Christ in heaven. That'd take that pain away. Sting of death. Yeah. And I got to quit here, but go back with me. Because then he says, after all that, chapter 24, 1 to 13, that's what he reminded them of, all the history. Had them all thinking about it. They're all rejoicing now. And he says this, now therefore. Now if you're caught up in history, amen, and you're reminded, you are thinking about all that God has done for you, now therefore. Fear the Lord. And that's not saying to be afraid of the Lord. It's telling you to reverence God. Reverencing God is to acknowledge Him and give thanks for all He's done. Stop living as if there's no God. You're not reverencing God if you live as if there's no God. You need to acknowledge Him. Over in the book of Proverbs, and you can write it down again, but Proverbs in chapter 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Stop doing it your way. In all thy ways. You know what that word in the Greek, all, means? All. Every way. Every act, every area of your life. Time you get up in the morning to the time you lay your head on the pillow at night. All. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. You wake up, acknowledge that God's real. God, what do you have for me today? When you go to bed at night, acknowledge God is real. God, watch over me, give me a good night's sleep tonight. Yeah. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. And He shall direct thy paths. Stop living as if He does not exist. How do you feel when you're around in a group, a crowd maybe, and no one acknowledges you in that crowd? Everybody's talking around you. They don't want to hear what you, they don't act like you're not even there. How does that make you feel? You want to say, hey, I'm right here. Imagine what God, how you make God feel when He's there and you don't acknowledge Him. He's there. He wants to be acknowledged in all thy ways. Stop ignoring Him. Stop living as if there is no God. You need to incorporate God, the true God, in every area of your life, in every action, in every act. Acknowledge God as a creator. Acknowledge Jesus as Lord. Acknowledge the Bible as God's authority over us, and acknowledge His design of His church, and serve Him. Because now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Serve Him. A server serves. Stop acting like God is your genie in a bottle. He's not here to serve you. He saves you to serve him. And he will equip you to accomplish whatever he has for your life to accomplish. Serve him. Reverence him. Serve him. And then he says this, and we're done. Put away the gods, small letter G gods, which your father served on the other side of the flood, that led them to turn their backs on God and to live a life of sin. Put away anything that comes between you and your service to God is a small letter G God. Put it away. Look to the Creator God and serve him with all your heart, with all that you have. It'll make a difference in your life. If I could have every head bowed tonight. It'll make a difference in your life when you just remember who God is and what he's done. Maybe tonight you're living as if there is no God. That's a terrible way to live when you can live as with God. You're living in the darkness and there's light. Why choose to live in darkness when you can live in the light? Why choose to ignore God when you can acknowledge God? Tonight you can turn things around. Can't do anything about yesterday, but tomorrow is still in your control. You can turn things around tonight. Look to God. If you've never received Jesus as your Savior, receive him tonight. Call upon the name of the Lord. If you are saved, then live like it. As you live like it, it'll bring joy. Father, we bow before you now. We love you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the truth of your word. And Lord, for all you've done for us, help us, Lord, to acknowledge you and to do all that you would have us to do for you. Bless in this invitation, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and stand with me tonight.